life gives you lemons, you listen to Beyonce. Wait, no. Of course you listen to Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com. Hi there, I'm Amelia Dalton, and this week we're getting into some serious design verification business. Maybe you were considering heading on over to the good old Bay Area next week for a little DVCon action. Well then, this fish fry is for you. My guest this week is Dennis Brophy, this year's DVCon chair. Dennis has all the goods on this year's show, so let's get started. Hi, Dennis. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Good afternoon, Amelia. Well, Amelia, we have designers and design managers that are doing design and verification. I think we'll find that the content of the conference is going to be right up their alley, whether they're designing at the block or subsystem level, and maybe using traditional languages that have been around for a decade or more, into even those things which are emerging as potential standards shortly. And, you know, learning about advanced verification methodologies and techniques to help usher in the next level of design and verification productivity. So we actually gauge the conference not just for the beginner, but also for the advanced consumers and users as well. So the conference ought to be something that can be used and practical information gained by both those trying to learn something for the first time and those coming back to trying to advance what they do in their own practice, in their own day jobs.
Okay, so you guys have tutorials and sessions at this year's event. So let's talk about them both. I have previewed the tutorials, and I do have one favorite title, which is Stuck on a Desert Island Without Simulation, Only Formal. How do I verify my rescue drones RTL? Okay, so is there a theme with the tutorials offered, and do you have any other favorites?
Sure. You know, I have to tell you that the tutorial you picked, by the way, happens to be a company I also work with. But it is a common theme throughout the conference. It's not just what we can do with simulation, but how can you apply formal methods to the art of verification? And I think this one actually kind of places the question front and center. Can you, and is it possible to verify a design without having to do any dynamic simulation? That might be a long-standing hope of those who have been bringing the formal technology into the market. I know from many conferences that I've lent my time to help bring programs together, there's always been this schism or fight between those that are bringing formal methods and technologies to the market and those who have been implementing dynamic simulation techniques that are really embedded in the IEEE standards for VHDL Verilog, System Verilog, even System C. So I think that's a good conversation for us to have, and I think it'd be enlightening to hear what the answers to that are going to be. But the reality is designs are becoming complex by the year just as we shrink the process nodes down. I think this is kind of a theme for the conference in general. How do we do the next thing? What do we do next? Can we continue to repeat what we've been doing in the past and expect the same level of efficiency, the same level of productivity, the same level of quality? And I think our tutorials are going to help at least on the commercial side, which is the Thursday tutorial set that you kind of honed in on, is where we actually bring practice, today's practice and emerging technologies that the industry is bringing to market to actually discuss those things. So my hope is that we will have, and what the walkaway will be for those that are attending and participating in the tutorials, is an understanding about how we are actually slaying design and verification productivity, all the while, you know, maybe hopefully boosting productivity, getting larger designs out faster with the high quality that we would expect, reduced number of spins, et cetera. Now, how is that going to happen? I think we have a conference that is full of information, and especially on the Thursday tutorial day, that will leave us asking, is it time for us to think about, as designers and verification engineers, to maybe bring some of this additional technology in or to take a second look? Now, on the formal side, what I have seen just in the market, this is not any specific to any one company, but the industry has been attempting to make it simpler to use. It does not require a PhD in mathematics along with, you know, maybe some traditional engineering degree through the creation of apps-based focus or even maybe a vertical focus on a particular segment of verifying some things, whether it's security, safety critical things, et cetera. And so there are a lot of companies that are in the market with technology that I think have, over the past couple decades, made the use of formal technology easier for the practicing engineer that doesn't necessarily have a PhD in mathematics.
Okay, so let's jump right into the sessions. Are there sessions offered every day, and what kind of topics are we talking about here?
Yeah, I think, Amelia, we're moving backwards from Thursday to Monday, and we actually, Tuesday and Wednesday are the days with sessions, but we also were bracketing the sessions with learning activities. The Thursday learning we talked about in terms of sponsored tutorials by companies that have technology in the market. Accelera, the conference sponsor, kicks off Monday with educational sessions on its emerging portable stimulus standard, kind of an open town hall conversation at lunch on Monday, and then kind of giving a glimpse at the recently approved IEEE 1800.2 standard. IEEE has taken the Accelera work and has converted it into IEEE standard quality. They're going to be working on making that documentation and the actual publication of the standard available later in the year, and also bringing in system-level design with respect to the application of System C. You can do more with System C than just system-level design, and what we've been able to do to add verification elements to that, I think, is going to make the conference bracketed by two great opportunities to learn about what's going on, things that could be applied in the near future and most likely immediately. So on Tuesday, Wednesday, Amelia, where we do have the sessions, there's only 24 hours in a day, and we do not consume the entire day with a technical program, but we've done our utmost to offer a balance of paper sessions where those who have created and authored papers will be able to cover topics in verification, low power design, next gen verification techniques, those type of things. In the formal group, as I mentioned, although formal may be covered the Thursday session, we do have paper session on that. The other theme, at least on the Accelera side of emerging standards technology, we are devoting the entire Monday morning to a tutorial on the upcoming portable stimulus standard. While it's not 100% baked, and that maybe the sausage hasn't been all churned and put into its casing yet, we are continuing to make that standard, and we're going to give attendees a glimpse, pretty in-depth glimpse about what that looks like today, offer them an opportunity at that lunch to meet with the leaders of the portable stimulus group and have an open conversation with other Accelera working group chairs. We have panel sessions on the Tuesday and Wednesday conference. It's not just sitting and listening to papers, but we do break them up with a couple panels each day. We make the panels easy to attend as well. So while we have a trade show, an expo event for exhibitors, which is fee-free to people that want to register and sign up, we make some of the conference available to attendees without having to pay a cost. Panels is one of those. The keynote as well is going to be open to any that want to attend. There's a good amount of technical information that you pay to get into the conference, and another set of activities at the conference where we really want to invite the EDA industry to kind of come together to be present at and hold open conversations, as well as the design and verification community. Obviously, many that have to fly in will be registered for the conference, but those who may want to make last-minute decisions to join us and happen to live and work in Silicon Valley, this ought to be very easy for them to scan the program and attend. Now, sessions and all are nice. Sponsored lunches from Mentor, Cadence, Synopsys, and Accelera are great. But one of the ones I really like are the one-on-one conversations you can have at the poster sessions. So we've selected a lot of topics that we felt would be good to discuss, and we've set aside an hour and a half on Tuesday to actually have a poster session in the Gateway Foyer area. That's kind of like a live paper presentation. When you sit down and listen to a paper session, it's you sitting and listening to the presenter. With the posters, there's a real good interaction between the presenter and those that are standing around the poster boards.
So, Dennis, this year also includes a booth crawl. So tell me more about that part of DVCon.
Well, on Monday after we've held an Accelera Day, what we really want to do is to get everybody up and walking around and meeting up with everyone. And so what we put together is a booth crawl where we are going to ask the conference attendees to actually go around to the sponsors of this, where there will then be a drawing for a $500 Visa gift card at the end of the evening on Monday night. The winner must be present to win, but I don't think it's going to be too burdensome to collect the stamps at our booth crawl sponsors and also to be able to stay till 7 o'clock. We're going to have a nice eat and drinks available in the evening for the attendees, so this ought to make it easy for them to stick around. But I think the other nice thing is it's also going to be one that will get everybody kind of moving around the exhibit floor to see each other.
That's great. I'm looking forward to seeing you at this year's conference. Thank you so much for joining me, Dennis.
Thank you very much. Look forward to seeing you as well.
And one last bit of DVCon goodness. If you want more information, or if you want to enhance your already scheduled DVCon experience, they have launched a couple new super cool mobile apps. You can find them at the bottom of the page on dvcon.org. And it's also worth noting that the sponsors of this year's booth crawl are Amic, Cadence, SmartDV, Synopsys, and TrueChip. Okay, so now it's time for a little Kickstarter corner, turning bad into good edition. Now, everyone in the world these days knows the pain of air pollution, right? And if you're listening in India or China, or Southern California for that matter, this is undoubtedly doubly true for you. What if we could turn those cough-inducing, asthma-causing, awful air pollutants into something positive? Like ink? Well, we can. Or at least a team at the MIT Media Lab has found a way. Let me introduce you to Air Ink, a new Kickstarter campaign that is turning air pollution into refillable, high-quality, water-resistant markers and screen printing ink. And just by using a little bit of air ink, 30 milliliters or so, this team from the MIT Media Lab says you can negate 45 minutes of air pollution. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it all started with an experiment at the MIT Media Lab in Cambridge, Massachusetts. This team had an idea to run a handheld printer that used candle soot as its ink. And then they went on to demonstrate this rough prototype at several different conferences. Apparently, it was a big hit with environmentalists and artists alike. That initial prototype got them thinking, what if we used environmental soot instead of the soot from a candle? And how would they collect that environmental soot? Enter Kalink, which is the name of their proprietary collection device, and not, in fact, a villain from the Godzilla movies. News to me. Okay, so how is it done? Well, first, this Kalink device is retrofitted to the exhaust pipe of a vehicle or generator to capture the outgoing pollutants. Next, the collected soot undergoes several different processes, which are proprietary as well, of course, to remove any heavy metals and carcinogens. And what ends up being produced is a purified, carbon-rich pigment. And that carbon is then used to make several different types of inks and paints. So far, this team from MIT has created several grades of air ink with different applications. A 2mm round tip, a 15mm, 30mm, and 50mm chisel tip markers. Screen printing ink, and if this Kickstarter campaign is successful, has plans to create oil-based paints, fabric paints, outdoor paints, and more. Sounds good in theory, right? Well, it's actually cool in reality as well. In 2014, this team did two test runs in two Indian cities heavily affected by pollution, Delhi and Bangalore. And with even further testing, they found that their air ink could make a real-world impact. Okay. Fine details time. The Air Ink crew is looking at a June of 2017 delivery date, so not that far in the future. $35 will get you one 2mm marker and a thank you note on the Air Ink mural. $70 will get you a fine-tipped 2mm round tip marker for fine strokes, and a 50mm chisel tip marker for curved strokes, a t-shirt printed with air ink, and a postcard made from air ink. Oh yes, and of course, a thank you on that air ink mural. Further pledge amounts will get you a wide range of different sizes and styles of markers, and even all the way to the top, $7,000 will get you a spot on one of their commercials being filmed in Boston or Delhi in the coming months. So, the real question is, how do I slip $7,000 into my company credit card without anyone noticing? Oh, shoot. My boss totally listens to this broadcast every week. Well, best the cat's out of the bag now. Or the ink, as the case may be. If this sounds like a Kickstarter campaign you're drawn to... Get it? Drawn? Oh, okay. I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page on eejournal.com. This campaign ends in just a couple weeks, so get on it, my friends, and make the world a better place, one pen stroke at a time. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EE Journal TFM. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, keyword EE Journal. It is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, which also includes our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series. I'm just saying. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, I love pinball, FYI. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of February 24th, 2017, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.